Chapter 1. Cora, the 4th of July. It's my favorite thing ever to have all the people I love in one place at the same time. Pair that with a day off from work, cold beer, barbecue, and fireworks, and I couldn't be a happier camper. And I would have been ecstatic if only a dark, looming, man-shaped cloud wasn't bound and determined to rain all over my parade. It was a long holiday weekend, and everyone from the tattoo shop I worked at, plus the other boys, Jet and Asa, as well as the girls, was gathered in the backyard of Rule and Shaw's brand new house for a barbecue and a housewarming. Everyone had a beer in hand. Rule and Jet were manning the grill, looking slightly ridiculous while doing it. It was supposed to be fun and relaxing. Only someone had missed the memo. I was rolling my sweating beer can between my hands and trying really hard to keep my mouth shut because in a few short minutes I'd determined that Rome Archer had to be the least fun person I'd ever met. Sure, the guy had just gotten home from a war zone and was dealing with some pretty serious family drama, but that didn't excuse the fact that he seemed bound and determined to infect the rest of the festivities with his vile mood. Ever since he'd walked in the back gate, he'd been alternately scowling and snipping at anyone who got within spewing distance of that unchecked fury. He had on mirrored aviators, so I couldn't see his eyes, but I could practically feel the disdain and dissatisfaction pouring off of his massive body. I had never met anyone who I could actually describe as hulking before Rome started hanging around, and like the Green Monster, his temper seemed to be something everyone else feared. I was getting sick and tired of watching my friends tiptoe around him and try to placate him. Hell, he should be jumping for joy that his horn dog of a sibling had settled down and was making a real commitment to someone, that Rule had found his perfect match and was a better man for it. But no. All Captain No Fun could do was sneer and grunt at anyone trying to make conversation. No, I was pretty sure I was not a particular fan of Rome Archer in any way, shape, or form, be he a war hero and beloved older sibling, supposed nice guy, or not. I personally thought the man was going out of his way to be an asshat and make everybody else as miserable as he seemed to be. The boys who grew up with him, and even my girlfriend Shaw, kept repeating the litany that the ex-soldier really was a great guy and that he was just struggling since coming home. I wasn't sure I believed it, because nothing I had seen thus far indicated that he was anything but a grumpy, slightly unhinged bully. Which was a shame, because the guy was gorgeous. Like, it hurt to look at him gorgeous. All the Archers had some kick-ass genetics, but where Rule, my coworker and best friend, was gifted with all kinds of troubled bad boy swagger, Rome was straight-up masculine perfection. He was tall, way taller than the other guys, which was saying something since none of the crew was exactly petite, and he was big. He was broad and strong and strapped with muscles that looked like they had been used for survival, not just show. He had short, dark-cropped hair, close to his head, and over the reflective lenses of the sunglasses, there was no missing a jagged white scar that hooked through his eyebrow and down next to his eye. His face had a vivid intensity about it that just made him stupidly hot, even without the body that was bound to make the opposite sex dumb. I bet if he ever bothered to smile, panties across the nation would melt. I looked up as one of my other co-workers, Nash Donovan, popped up behind me and rested his hands on my shoulders. Nash was Rule's best friend, and currently living with the mountain of doom and gloom I was sitting next to on the lawn. The camp chair he was sprawled in looked like it was going to snap under his considerable bulk at any minute. I couldn't imagine a guy as mellow and laid back as Nash living with someone so dour and grumpy. But considering he and Rule pretty much hero worshiped the guy, I figured it would behoove me to just stay out of it for as long as I could. "How goes it, Tink?" It was a simple question, but there was a lot behind it. I recently found out my first love, the guy who was responsible for shattering my young heart into a million irreparable pieces, was getting married at the end of the summer. I was having a hard time with it, and all the guys from the shop were worried about me because I was typically unflappable. "Oh, you know, still looking for Mr. Perfect." That was my default answer. In order to prevent the same mistake, to prevent myself from giving my heart away so carelessly, I was bound and determined to wait for a guy who was all in with me. I wasn't settling for anything less than perfection, even if I had to wait forever to find it. The idea of compromising and ending up as lost and broken as I was when things with Jimmy didn't work out was too terrifying to consider.